the myth we're told in school is that after the Civil War, you had bad Reconstruction. All these Yankees came down and did horrible things, and then the good Southerners took back. That's not true. Under both periods, you had two Northern governors and one Florida-born governor. And probably the worst was the worst reactionary Reconstruction governor was a guy named Drew. He was from New Hampshire. He came to the South. The Union protected him. And then after the war, he made his money in logging, and he used the Ku Klux Klan to keep his workers in line. And his story, along with Flagler's, is very similar to Rick Scott's. People make their money on a transformative, and DeSoto's, and Ponce de Leon. For the early Spaniards, it was stealing gold. For Henry Flagler, it was the Industrial Revolution, and the petroleum, especially in the North. And for Rick Scott, it was our health care crisis. They make tons of money up north, and then Florida becomes their playground. And the interesting thing is they all either get wiped out or certainly wind up much poorer. Flagler said, I would have been a rich man if it weren't for Florida. And I would say to our listeners, if you want to get out of here alive and happy, just remember one thing. Florida consumes capital. It does not create wealth. Okay? And if you've got a lot of money, like I have a place in Miami. After many years, I'm very happy there. I like many aspects of life in Florida. But I have no dream that I'll make money on that, that by basing myself in Florida, it's going to be to my financial advantage.
Let's talk about transportation. Reading through the section of this book where you talk about the three Henrys, Flagler, Sanford, and Plant, it's interesting just to think about we have these stupendously wealthy folks that are building this network of rail lines and linking up hotels across Florida. And I want to ask you, T.D. Ormond, how crucial do you think that sort of early history of rail in Florida was to setting up the tourism economy we have now in the Sunshine State?
It was very important. You see, they latched on to railroads during the railroad age, and the railroads brought people down here, of course, first tourists in the age of the private railway car, but also it made the export of Florida products possible for the first time. Refrigeration, for the first time, you could export crops. There are very few crops that thrive in Florida's limestone. But they are oranges and they're strawberries, so that helped. Then the interesting thing was the next phase runs right through here. Is it Dixie Highway goes through here? That was a private thing. That was the guy who started Oldsmobile, Fisher, Carl Fisher, and they built that highway to bring down. Now we have the airports or the great nodes, MCO, which is not ORL. See, I know that, brings people in here. And look at the results you have. The best Indian food in Florida and the United States, best South Indian food, wonderful Hindu temples, things like that. So the next question, we're now at the cusp of the motor car era. And the question is, what happens next? Now, all these civilizations are extremely resilient. Remember, even racism. Why did it survive so long? Why did slavery? Well, it was very bad to black people, but it brought white people together. I mean, I'm just speaking very honestly now. So as long as you were white, it was okay. So that was the very thing. Now what we have to look at now is what happens next to societies that have large populations that are built on environmentally fragile foundations, that have very few natural resources, and unfortunately don't have very many human resources in comparison to natural competitors like California, for instance, at a time when energy costs are rising. That's the next drama of Florida, what happens next.